Why should we work on our marriages if they are already good? Let's chat today about how we can increase our fulfillment. Hi, my name is Trina Glines, and this is Elevate Your Marriage and Life podcast. This podcast is for those who want to create happiness daily, even among the chaos that marriage and family life will bring. Get ready to elevate your marriage and life today. Welcome to Elevate Your Marriage and Life podcast. Ladies, I'm going to have just a little heart-to-heart with you today because this is something that I do discuss a lot with my husband. I discuss a lot with other women. And I'm pretty passionate about only because of my own journey that I have gone on in trying to discover how to increase the happiness in my life and in my marriage. And as I have worked with women who have really struggling marriages, there have been times of frustration that have come out in me that I've just, you know, said to my husband, like, why? Why weren't we given tools? Why didn't anybody teach us? Why did we think we could just wing it? Because that's what we do. We fall in love and there's this major infatuation, this magnet that brings us together, and you think your world will never be the same and you will want to be with this person for the rest of your life. And then you get married and that magnet slowly weakens. And now love is a choice. Love is actually very much a verb, an action. And often when that infatuation kind of dwindles, we have a tendency to think, oh, I'm falling out of love. I just don't love my spouse like the way I used to. Not realizing, because nobody's talked about it, that no, love is created. It is a choice you make every single day, right? And so because of my own journey of going on, I wanted to discover how I could increase my happiness in my life and in my marriage. And I no longer believe, and I don't think any of us should believe, that we can just wing it. There's no winging marriages in 2018. I think in times past, in the early 1900s, late 1800s, maybe they could have gotten away with winging it, right? But we have so many things that are fighting against marriages today, fighting against the family. And it comes in lots of different forms. It comes in comparisons. It comes in the fact that you can scroll down your Instagram and see somebody else's life and go, it's perfect. Why don't I have that, right? Not thinking that how many photos did it take for that perfect shot, right? We have to have a reality check when we're looking at social media, but sometimes we don't take time for that reality check. And social media often encourages us to have false expectations. And we also compare ourselves against other people we see around us. But we don't see behind the closed doors. We don't see the skeletons in their closet. We don't see the battles that they are fighting. And we often, too, have our own unrealistic expectations. And that can be really challenging for ourselves to set ourselves up for success. We don't have the tools, right? And so if you have listened to my other podcasts, you know I'm a real advocate on finding tools that we can add to our toolbox to help us maneuver through this crazy thing called marriage. And we shouldn't be expected to do it all on our own. I mean, that's just crazy. And none of us had perfect role models as parents. There's no such thing. And often what we do is just look at what a marriage should look like and think, well, this is the expectation of my marriage, not realizing all of the work that's going on behind the scenes to create that what looks like a great marriage. And so I'm going to talk about that today. I'm going to talk to you about just the fact that we can't just wing it. We need to be more intentional in our life and in our marriage. This winging it has got to stop. I'm working with women whose marriages are really struggling, And these things could have been so different for them had somebody helped set them up for success. To know that going and reading a relationship book together or going to a retreat together or going to counseling is not a sign of weakness. It's actually a sign of strength. Really? Like, that is such a sign of strength. I want something more, and I want somebody to help pave the path with me to know how to do this because I'm not sure how to do it on my own. And so, anyway, today we're going to chat about why we should want to nurture our marriage even when we feel like it might be fine. Now, first, I want to preface that seeking knowledge that helps you strengthen areas of your life, once again, what I just said a second ago, is not a sign of weakness. It is a strength. And for some reason, there's some old misperception out there that looking elsewhere for guidance means you're weak. You haven't been able to figure it out on your own. And I can't tell you how false that is. That is so, so, so false. We have to get rid of that mentality. We have to be willing to learn from others who have done the research, who have found ways to, you know, maneuver through a scenario that was successful. And you can choose if it fits you or not. Maybe it won't fit you, and that's okay. But when we close our eyes and ears to the fact of learning from someone else because we think we should just know it already, we're really setting ourselves up for failure. We really are. A strong person is willing to look outside of their own knowledge to seek something more. None of us know everything. This life is meant for us to have continued growth. There is not a more, in my mind, divine attribute that we can have than humility. To me, humility allows your heart and your mind to be open and to receive lessons and knowledge that will assist you in becoming the best version of yourself. Now, recognize, I didn't just say perfect, right? There's no such thing as perfect. I'm saying we all should be working on creating the best version of ourselves. And when we choose to stop growing, we choose to stop living. We choose to stop living at our highest potential. Now, that being said, why should we work on a marriage that is already doing okay? Well, number one, none of us are immune to our okay areas of life being challenged. None of us. Okay? Number two, what if there is more waiting for us than just okay? What if you even feel like my marriage is really great? What if there's something waiting for you that might even be greater? I'm not saying that we shouldn't have a level of contentment, for sure. If you have a really good marriage, awesome. But I highly doubt you have a really good marriage because it just happened. My guess is you've implemented tools. You've done things to create that really great marriage, right? And so I believe we are just constantly, if we are constantly aware and willing to find areas in our life that, oh, you know what? I'd really like to learn how to do this better. Hun, what do you think about this, right? Like, work on it. Discover something new. It's going to increase your happiness. When we choose to continue to nurture our marriage, we increase our armor to protect us against the challenges that will come, right? You already know. If you've been married many years, you know those challenges will come. Let me give you a couple of examples. Let's say you're a business owner and you need to hire an accountant, and it's down to two applicants. And the one applicant has been an accountant for 20 years, but hasn't gone and done any new type of seminars or, I don't even know what it's called, certifications to be up on the tax laws and codes. And your second one to choose from has only been in for, you know, maybe 10 years being an accountant, but he or she is very diligent at staying up on the tax laws and codes. Who are you going to pick? Right? You're going to pick the one that continues to put tools in their tool chest to make sure that he's going to manage your finances well in this business that you have, right? Like this is so important. Now let's take this example. I like this example. Say I see a recipe for a really, it's a stir fry and it looks amazing. Right? Looks amazing. The photo is very detailed and I can see all of the ingredients. I can see carrots. I can see pea pods. I can see chicken and broccoli. I can even see the garlic. I can see mushrooms and cabbage. And I decide I'm going to make this meal and I'm going to make it from what it looks like. Do you think it's going to be successful? Do you think this meal is going to taste as good as that picture looks like? Heavens no, because I can't see the small details of the flavor, the flavorings that were added, like the spices, the very important parts to make this meal taste incredible. But how many of us follow examples of what a marriage looks like, but don't bother to understand the unseen details, the spices, that really are the base for a good or great or a rewarding marriage? Every marriage takes work. And anyone with a great marriage has created it by choosing to work at it. True that there are many who do settle in their marriages, not understanding that what they're really missing. And to me, I got to a point where I was like, I don't want to settle. I'm not going to settle anymore. Settling's not an option for me. I want more out of my life and I want more out of my marriage. And so, I want to clarify here. Settling is not the same as having a level of contentment. Being content is a place of peace. Feeling satisfied with the place you are in. And that's actually a really beautiful place to be. Settling is a form of tolerating less than what your heart really desires. Settling is not long-term sustainable at all. Now, you could have a problem like this. What if one spouse feels that things are fine, but the other sees areas they want to improve or work on? Or have a need, or maybe a couple needs that aren't being met. What do you do in that situation? Well, number one, a marriage is a partnership. We only have control over our part. That was a very valuable lesson for me because for the first 20 plus years of my life, or my marriage, I really worried about my husband's part. And when I would read marriage books, I'd see like, he's not doing this. He's not doing this. He's not doing this. And that didn't serve me. When I made that conscious choice to just concentrate on my part, what I have control over, that's when the magic happened. But if your partner is struggling, okay, if your partner is struggling, you as their partner should want your partner to feel fulfillment from your marriage. So if you have one partner that is struggling, then part of your part is being willing to help them get the fulfillment that they're looking for. And that can kind of be uncomfortable sometimes because the partner that's thinking, I'm like totally fine, I don't want to rock the boat. What's going to come out of this? What am I going to have to change? It can actually be a little bit of a scary place to be because of the unknown. But part of doing your part is, it really is making sure that your partner is receiving the fulfillment that they desire as well. Okay? So just because you don't feel a need is missing doesn't mean your partner doesn't. And we need to choose to seek to understand our spouse's feelings and wanting to help our partner get their needs met. There's a quote, and I don't recall who said it, but it said, you know, marriage is caring more about another than yourself. And it really is. It's caring so much about your spouse that you're willing to plunge in and jump in the deep end in maybe a scary place of, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do this communication thing she really wants to work on or whatever, but I'll do it because I know she needs it and I want my partner to be happy. Like, that's so important. So important on both ends of the deal here. But unfortunately, we have no control over the other person's part. And so our partner has to be willing to, our partner has to be willing to want to work on something that we need. And that's really a great gift that you can give to your spouse. So I'm going to, well, let me ask you this question first. Have you ever learned something new that was kind of life altering? Like, you know, it helped you see something so differently and now you're able to apply it in your life for the better, right? Like, you're like, why didn't I know this forever ago? Let me give you some examples. A while back, I was taught about the drama triangle. The drama triangle, go Google it. It will bring up images. And you want to stay out of the inside of that drama triangle. In each corner of that triangle, you're either being the rescuer, the persecutor, or the victim. And so when I learned this, this has helped me so much in my life. And I really encourage you to go and study it. So you want to stay out of the triangle. So when you're dealing with a difficult situation or a difficult person, you can ask yourself those questions. Am I being the victim? Am I trying to rescue somebody? Am I persecuting someone? And, you know, I do that when I have to return difficult emails or text messages or whatever. I really ask those questions so I don't get stuck in that drama triangle. When I learned this, it has helped me so much in my everyday interactions with people, not just my spouse, but everyone. And that has changed my life, learning that one little piece of information, right? Another piece of information that I just barely learned, I know I interviewed Jeff Stewart on here a couple podcasts ago, and he also joined my end of month webinar in Upkeep 3 and visited with all my ladies in sharing with them about EFT therapy. And at the beginning of our webinar, he shared that he had been at a training with Dr. Sue Johnson, and Dr. Sue Johnson shared that in 2018, we expect more out of marriages today than ever in the history of marriages. And he goes on to say that we expect our one partner to be everything for us. Our emotional support, our physical support, our financial support, our spiritual support. Every avenue of support that we might need in our life, we expect from that one partner. This was such a huge aha moment for me, and it has changed the way I've looked at things. I mean, just sharing that little bit, I was like, oh my word. We do this all the time. And he says, it's impossible for one person to do every one of those roles correctly and fully to the amount that the other person needs. And he said, what happened was many years ago, women and men, they didn't rely on just that one sole spouse for all their needs. Women would get together and they would be an emotional support for each other. And they would even help them maybe with, you know, daily tasks they might have and stuff while the man was out in the field working. And, you know, there was some separation going on a little bit on what the expectations were on each spouse. And there were other areas of connection going on. He says, we obviously in 2018, hello, you guys, we already know that we are getting so disconnected from human and human interaction. Everything's going, you know, digitally. And it's hurting us. And we really do need connection with people. And it just really got my mind going because he said, if your partner is unable for some reason in your life right now to be an emotional support, say he or she has something going on in their life, they're really struggling, and he just can't be your emotional support, it's okay. Find a friend that can be that emotional support for you in that area. And a marriage does not have to end. It doesn't, he's not capable right now, but it doesn't mean you're going to have a terrible marriage. And it was just really eye-opening to me. One, for the first many years of my marriage, I did expect my husband, Jeff, to fulfill all those roles for me. I had girlfriends, but I didn't really do a lot with girlfriends. I really just kind of went off of, I don't need anybody outside of my family. My family's everything for me. And I still do believe my family is my most important union for sure. But you know what? I probably could have used some connection outside in more depth than what I had. Now, with that, I want to give some cautions, which Jeff Stewart gave his cautions as well. He does not believe those outside connections should be our parents. Our parents, we should pull away from our parents, and it's really hard to share with parents without them getting too emotionally involved because you're their child, okay? So he did warn that it shouldn't be parents that fill those different roles of connection that we might need and support. And then I will add, that doesn't mean you go to your friend who's going to be your emotional support in this area of your life and bash your man and say, my husband, he's just not there for me. And I just, no. That's not going to solve anything but have you create more ill feelings. Okay? No. You've recognized your husband is super stressed at work. He's building a business, whatever. He can't handle the emotional stress you're going under having 5 kids, 8 and under, and you just need somebody to vent to. Then you have this girlfriend you can call and say, you'll never believe what happened today. So-and-so did this and so-and-so did this. And now all of a sudden you've got an outlet for that emotional support you need in that area without burdening your husband who just might right now not be able to handle it. Does that make sense to you? This was one of those moments that I learned something new, and it was like a huge awakening. I'm like, oh my word, it's okay for us to have some connections outside of that soul spouse connection. Now, I will do another warning. I believe those connections need to be with people of the same sex. So I'm going to connect to other women. My husband would connect to other men, not me connecting to another man. That's a recipe for disaster. So I have to preface that. I don't want anybody saying I said anything otherwise. Okay. Just letting it all out there. I think that's super important for all of us. Okay. Another big lesson that I learned that helped change my life was the fact that I realized I'm in charge of my own happiness. My husband's not in charge of my happiness. And forever, I put him in charge of my happiness. Hello, people. That is so unrealistic and so mean. How can he win? How can he ever win? No, I am in charge of my happiness. He's in charge of his happiness. Then we can come together and share that happiness together. But if I'm sitting back waiting for him to make me happy, that's a lot of pressure on him. And when I learned I was in charge of my own happiness, it's really been freeing for me. It's really allowed me to recognize that I do need to do some things for myself. I do need to make sure I'm nurturing myself and taking care of me. It's okay if I want to read a book. It's okay if I want to go for a bike ride. It's okay if I want to do these things on my own without him. It's okay to take care of me, right? For me, that's how it resonated with me. Maybe being in charge of your own happiness is going to look differently than it looks for me. But it was like, wow, on these things, the drama triangle, learning that we have such unrealistic expectations in 2018 of marriage than any other time in history, and that I'm in charge of my own happiness, learning these things, it's like, wow, how did I not know this before? And as I've learned them, my perceptions have changed, all because of one piece of information. It has now influenced how I deal with myself and with people and life. That is how powerful learning new little pieces of knowledge is. What if simple perceptions, okay, perception changes, could alter your marriage to have more fulfillment? So what if you just had little different perceptions that just little, you know, I'm going to give you some examples of them. These little changes, switching your mindset, could actually alter your marriage for you to have more fulfillment even without your spouse doing one thing. It actually is amazing, and it happens. What if just taking a little time to understand how your spouse works and thinks, and how it actually ends up changing your world? Because now you get rid of assumptions. You get rid of assuming why he or she is doing something a certain way and you can't make sense of it. You're now able to interpret situations better. You now understand something on a new level. Something that didn't make sense before now makes perfect sense. And you're able to release frustrations and assumptions that go with it. Let me give you some examples of this. How many of you women have husbands that can fall asleep anytime, anywhere, anyhow? Right? Like my husband, if he all of a sudden is like, I'm tired, the next thing I know, he is either on the couch, he's in the chair, he's laid down on the bed. I mean, he is out. And for years, I thought, really? Oh, I'd really love to lay down and take a nap too, but no, I've got all of these things to do and you just don't care, right? Like, those are the thoughts that are going through our head, right? It's a Saturday afternoon. We've got a to-do list this, you know, so long, and he all of a sudden got tired and he falls asleep. And for us as women, I don't know, this resonates with you, but we typically, for us to take a nap, it's like, we got like a 30-step process to make sure the kids are taken care of, letting them know mom's going to go lay down for a minute. We got to shut the door and put in earplugs. And, you know, we have to like take all of these measures for us to get a little nap in. And often in those measures comes guilt. Oh, I don't have time for this. I have so many things I should be doing right now. I shouldn't be laying down right now. And so because of that, because we have that thought process of, I shouldn't be taking the time for this right now, right? We assume, looking at our man who is lying on the floor in the family room asleep now, we assume he's being selfish. We assume that he doesn't care how we feel. We assume that, I mean, really, he's being selfish. Ladies, what if I told you that men and women are made differently, and we speak two different languages, and our bodies react differently, and we have different DNA makeup, and men actually have a really strong connection with sleep? And because they are single task focused beings, and we are multitask alerted beings, when they are doing something, they are singly focused on it. They're just singly focused, work, 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 eating, 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 doing the lawn, 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 lawn. They're very single focused, right? And then all of a sudden sleep comes and cuts through that single focus. And now all they can focus on is sleep. And they have a very strong connection with that need. It's like, I can't do anything else. I literally cannot do anything else until I close my eyes for a few minutes. Thus, they can fall asleep anytime, anywhere, anyhow. But we as women are multitask alerted, and we are aware of everything going on around us at all times. And because of this, we will give and adapt our needs away. You might feel the need of tired. You're tired, but you will give it away because somebody needs you and this needs to get done. And you will just adapt and not lie down. We are made differently. But how often we assume our man is being selfish because he does lay down and sleep and we ain't give and adapt it away. Ladies, can you see the freedom now and understanding? He literally works different than you. He literally works different than you. Knowing this has changed my world. When my husband says, I'm tired, I'm now like, all right. And I just go do something else for a few minutes because I know he's going to fall asleep. He can't push past that tired feeling because of his single task focus. And I don't take offense to it anymore. Right? Like, see how learning these little differences between us can open your world, can free you from these assumptions that you may have had. Let's use another one. When we, as women, when there's a problem, we typically, and this is a general statement, so it might not fit all of you, we typically need to talk through the problem with somebody. We need to process it by talking. So we process it by talking with our husband. And men can struggle with this because they want to fix it. And often we don't want them to fix it, right, ladies? We just want them to listen to us and we will kind of figure it out on our own unless we say, I need your help to solve this problem. But men, when they have a problem, they typically will pull away because they want to process it on their own. They're going to go into their little den or whatever, and they're going to figure it out on their own before they share it. And we work differently. And because men do that, we as women often go, why isn't he sharing with me? Why don't you want to talk to me? Well, just tell me what's going on. Why are you upset? And we're hounding them, which is driving them nuts. Because literally they're like, I'm not like you. Quit expecting me to be like you. I need some time to think about this. But we assume they should be a version of us. And if he's not talking about it, then he must not love me. He must not trust me. He must not care about what I have to think. Ladies, that's not what he's thinking at all. He's literally different than you. He processes going through a problem differently. And that's okay. That is okay. What if you can learn new listening skills that would be beneficial for you, right? Like, I've listened to so many podcasts, I've read so many books that have altered the way I now listen to people for the better. Had I not listened to those, had I not sought out some good TED Talks, had I not read these in a book, I would still be back where I was thinking everything was fine, but my life is so much more fulfilled now being able to implement these tools that I have learned. What if you could learn how to not catch your spouse's emotions? You know how easy it is if your husband walks in from a day at work and he walks in and you can tell he's in a bad mood, how easy it is to catch his mood and vice versa? What if you can learn tools to not have that happen? I've talked about this in one of these past podcasts. What if you could learn why certain things trigger you and you're not sure why? Why you might have a negative reaction about something and you're not sure why? Like for me, I learned I was triggered when my husband, when I felt like I wasn't being heard. When I felt like I wasn't being heard, that would trigger me to go inside my box. Because I've chose to learn, because I've sought out people who have already researched this and discovered this, I was able to learn. That was part of my blueprint. Part of my blueprint is I didn't feel heard. And anytime I didn't feel heard, I would close down. And so that was just a trigger. If I didn't feel heard by my husband, it triggered me. Now I know that. And now I also know Most of the time, I wasn't being heard by my husband because I wasn't resonating in his language. And I also was expecting him to read my mind. I was expecting him to hear me without me voicing what it was I really needed. And that's just a recipe for disaster, just so you know. How about if you could learn how to discover your primary emotion instead of just reacting with the secondary emotion, which most of us do most of the time? There are tools for that. The book Love Sense by Dr. Sue Johnson is amazing. Read the book. And I caution you and encourage you, read the book through your eyes of what is your part. Do not read it looking at his part or her part. If this is a guy listening to this, do it for yourself, because that is the only person you have control over. Did you know that men need to feel respect and women need to feel loved? But often as women, we will show love and it's not resonating with him because there's areas of disrespect we're showing and we don't even realize we're showing it. Has there ever been a time? Think about a time that your husband all of a sudden just got really irritated and you have no idea what you just did. Chances are it was some form of disrespect that doesn't resonate with you as disrespect at all, because he works completely different than you. And now all of a sudden he's irritated, right? When you can learn about what respect looks like to a man, how it feels to a man, then all of a sudden a whole new world opens up. Now I know, oh crap, hun, sorry, I didn't mean that to come out that way. Sorry about that. I can catch it. Even if I catch it after the moment, it's better than none at all. I can catch it because now I know how it might make him feel. And now I'm able to communicate in a better way with him. And now I'm able to show him, help him feel love in a way that he can feel love. Instead of me showing him the love I want to receive, I'm able to give him the respect he wants to receive. And that's how he feels love. Okay. Goes both ways, vice versa. Of your husband making sure he's giving you the love that you need. And he might just be sharing just a level of respect, thinking that's good enough, when we really long for a deeper connection of that love felt. What if choosing to learn how your spouse works and thinks changes things so much for you that you feel a peace that you had no idea was missing? Because all this time you felt your marriage was fine and you had that mentality of don't fix what isn't broken, but it doesn't have to be broken to have an increased amount of fulfillment, right? There are areas in your life that could be more rewarding by you just choosing to learn some new knowledge, new ways, new thoughts. You know, it's sad because I hear comments all the time from individuals who say things either about themselves or maybe about a couple they know. Their relationship is just a business relationship. Their marriage is just a business relationship. They're just roommates. I'm just a roommate with my spouse. Or my marriage has lost its spark. It's not even there. I can't even find it. It's not even worth working on. Those really break my heart because there's so much more that these people are missing out on. But because we were never taught from day one, and when I say day one, do you know what I'm talking about? We were never taught as we were growing up in adolescence, the marriage takes work. We were never taught the differences between boys and girls, the way they think differently, the way we react differently, right? We were never taught those things. And so I think a good question for us to ask ourselves is, what do you hope for your kids to have out of their marriages? And what kind of example are we setting for them? Does everything else come first? Is everything else more important? Is choosing to nurture your marriage a challenge for you because You're scared of what it will require from you. But yet, when we learn new things that improve our perceptions, it is actually good growth. Many of us will follow what other marriages look like. What a blessing it would be to our children if they witnessed parents who worked on nurturing their marriages, and kids were able to hear conversations about the differences between men and women. They'd see parents learning new communication skills and choosing to spend time together and meeting each other's needs. This is the greatest gift that we can give ourselves and our children. If you want some ideas, go read Love Sense. There's also two books written by Shanti Feldhahn. The one is called For Women Only, and the other one is called For Men Only. And so something that Shanti recommends is that you get the book and the wife read For Men Only first. And that's basically all about women and how we work. And she said, highlight areas that resonate with you. You know, put a cross through something and say, this doesn't really resonate with me. Write little things in the margins. And he do the same. He reads For Women Only first. And that's all about men and how they work and the research that she has found. And he does the same thing. Like, this really resonates with me. No, this doesn't. And then you swap books and now you have a personalized version of that book. Do it. Right? Like, these books are amazing. I just recently found them and I love them so, so much. Very practical, a very simple read. They both are on Audible. I have loved it and I look forward to, Shanti has agreed to do a podcast with me. And so I'm looking forward to that podcast coming up later this month. But we need to be intentional. If we choose to learn new perceptions, it's going to increase our happiness, right? And now we can show our kids what marriage really looks like. And that it takes work. And mom and dad schedule a date a week. And they see these books lying around the house. And they hear podcasts about, you know, how to help your communication skills. And they are aware that you have to seek tools for your success. That it's not just going to happen naturally. We've got to stop that. There's a reason why the divorce rate is as high as it is, because people are not being taught and we are going into marriage blindly. And there is, of course, a level of discovery in a marriage, of learning how to be married, that is fun and is part of the love story. But to go in with zero knowledge on how a man thinks and works and how a woman thinks and works and how different we are sexually, emotionally, we are so wired differently. We need to know those things. We need to set ourselves up for success. So thank you so much for joining me today. If you felt like this podcast was something that you learned something new, please share it with your family and friends. And, you know, leave me a review. I would love that. If you left a review, it allows me to reach a wider audience. And I really appreciate your support. So I hope you have a great week. This coming week after this, you are going to have an interview that you will be able to listen to with Jeff Ford, who is amazing. And he's going to talk about raising boys and men and how the world is working really hard to take men's power away and what we can do to combat that and how we can help raise our children to be strong and independent and healthy. And it's an incredible interview. It is a long one, so I am breaking it into 2 weeks. So the following two podcasts will be with Jeff Ford. And so I look forward to sharing that with you. Thanks so much, and you have a great day.